All right. I want to talk about Thanksgiving today. Not the big T Thanksgiving, but the little T Thanksgiving. And if you didn't know there was a difference, that's cool. We'll make some ground up here. So everybody had a good week. I bet by the end of this, if I ask the same question, you'll have a different response. You won't be so hesitant and reserved. Hopefully. So Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is one of those things where it really causes us to increase our awareness of it at least one time a year, right? I mean, if you look at Facebook, it's pretty apparent, at least the month preceding Thanksgiving, that people are starting to put out all the things that they're thankful for each day. And that's kind of interesting sometimes. Some people are really super serious about it, and some people are completely making a joke of it. But at least one time a year, we have this time where it's set apart, where people can give thanks. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing at all, because in a lot of ways, it's really good that we can kind of be directed back into a time of just being thankful for what we have and the relationships we have, the family that we have, the provisions we have. The thing is, I'm not sure if we as Christians many times take Thanksgiving beyond the momentary, beyond the kind of one time a year to really give thanks. And we might throughout the year sporadically say, yeah, I'm thankful for this, or God, thanks for this. Or we might even just do it during our prayers. God, thank you for this food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my life. But what happens if things start changing, where it's not just like these moments where we give thanks to God, but where it actually becomes an expression moment by moment of our life? Where it's not so conditionally based, okay? So, like, something goes in our favor, and we're like, ah, thank you, God. Okay, so many times I would say the predominant thanks that we give to just in a situation, or even if we direct it to God, is based upon something that works in our favor, right or wrong. Judy says yes, so I'm on the right track. I just want to say that, you know, what we find in Scripture is something very different than what we are kind of conditioned culturally to believe. What we find in Scripture is something that's not so dependent on situations going our way, but it's an actual explosion, or this expression of who we are. And so our Thanksgiving happens, the thanks that we give happens really independently of our situation, our circumstance. Everybody's mesmerized. Like, wow. And I already know what you're thinking. Because, you know, whenever I say something like this, it's like, okay, that's a good idea, but how realistic is that? What we find in Scripture is something very different than what we have been cultured to believe. What we find in Scriptures is that Thanksgiving is never viewed as an event, rather a moment-by-moment expression of gratitude in everything we do all the time. Wow. Real Thanksgiving is our gratitude in response to God, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's creation, God's provision, and it happens all the time. But if you're like me, you're already saying, wow, I fall significantly short of that. Maybe you don't. I do. I fall significantly short of that. Anybody fall short of that? I know, Patrick, you do. not to pick on anybody, but no. Patrick and I, we've talked about this quite a bit. Come to TLR, you'll get put on the spot. You'd be the first one to say it, though, right? Yeah. I'm going to get you, Brandon, afterwards. Can we be thankful even when things are rough? Can we be thankful when things aren't even our way? Can we be thankful when in the chaos of life? Can we be thankful in the calamity of life? Can we be thankful in the hard circumstances, in the painful circumstances? Or is it just when things are working out our way? Is it just the one time a year where we have to be thankful and we eat the food and we say thanks to God and we kind of walk away and it's back to the normal routine? I think that kind of Thanksgiving seems cheap, but I think it also cheats us out of fullness. I think that kind of momentary thankfulness and that moment by that, just that isolated one time here and one time there, cheats us out of life to the fullest. I like Colossians 3. I really like Colossians, period. I love Colossians 1. If you want to be blown away by just blown away by Jesus Christ and his accomplishment and who he is and what he's done, read chapter 1. But I like Colossians 3. It starts in verse 15 and it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Period. And listen to this next sentence. "And be thankful." Period. I love that. Like, he didn't include it as a comma, you know, or "and do this." It's like that kind of says, it sits alone all by itself, "and be thankful." So you're, because of Jesus who gives you peace, and because God has created you to be people of peace, be peaceful and be thankful. I love that. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." Sing to God with gratitude in your heart. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And even as I was just scouring Scripture and just looking at all of the verses, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, the Psalms, it doesn't matter if it's the Gospels, especially the Gospels, but if you're looking at the epistles of Paul, all scattered throughout Scripture, I'm blown away by how much the word thanks or thanksgiving is actually mentioned. To the point where I was kind of caught off guard, and I'm just going to be really honest and vulnerable. When I read Scriptures, that's really a word that I pass over easily. I really don't, because if you look at, and we'll get into some of this next week, but if you look at every time that Jesus gave thanks, you'd be blown away. He was really thankful for the food. He prayed over it all the time. He was thankful for breaking the bread. He was thankful for the people who were around him. He was thankful to God for God's presence. Whenever Paul starts writing, Paul's thankful. You would not believe how many times Paul is thankful for his brothers and sisters in Christ. "I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and you." And it's like, it's this overwhelming just presence of the Spirit of God in the righteous of God that exudes thankfulness all the time, of which I fall significantly short. I mean, how many of you showed up today and is just bursting at the seams with thankfulness for each other? thank God I'm in the presence of God's righteous people. Thank God I had another breath today. Thank God that, you know, I can just look. Wow! For a second, I thought that was me. My mouth was open, and then God's like speaking out of my mouth, and I have no control over it. That's amazing. Crazy moments in church history. That's awesome. So I like the way that Paul picks it up in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, always rejoice. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's read it again. Rejoice always, which means always be joyful. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for your life. Have you ever thought that God's will for your life is exactly that? Have you ever thought that God's will for you is to be joyful all the time? All the time? It says, rejoice always. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, whenever I've taken classes or I've written papers, you know, the words you stay away from are always and never. You know, because of those are like black and white. That's the way it is, uncompromisingly, whatever. Here Paul's saying that God's will for you as his righteousness extension in his righteous extension in the world is to be joyful always, to pray continually without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That's kind of a tall order, Judy. I always, everything that I talk about always goes back to fasting. And it always goes back to solitude. And this does too. And I'll tell you why. If you've never fasted, no problem. But and some people have a different perspective on fasting than I do. One of the ways that I appreciate fasting or abstaining from food is that whenever I remove myself from food, especially for a long period of time, let's say a week, without having any flavor in my mouth, right? When I'm reintroduced back to my first meal or the first bite that I take, it's like an explosion of goodness, right? It's like you've never appreciated a bite of food until you've been away from it for so long. Like you can taste every single flavor in it. And it just puts a smile on your face. Like you don't take it for granted. It's not like this thing that you just, you know, casually do after you fasted. You have food. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up? Glad to be eating again. It's like, wow, I never knew food could be so good. I think it's the same thing with solitude. If you've ever removed yourself from people for an extended period of time, the reintroduction back into family or community is something that you've never experienced before. It's something that can bring tears to your eyes. I never knew life could be this good. I've missed you so much. It's just so good to see your face. Have you ever experienced that? Like, absence makes the heart grow fonder. The feelings that I get when I'm reintroduced to food, and the appreciation and the gratitude and the thankfulness that I have, whenever I come out of solitude and I'm reintroduced back into with the people that I love, and just the fulfillment that's there, and the appreciation, and the gratitude, and the thanks that I have, I'm pretty sure that that's what I'm supposed to be feeling all the time. Can you imagine if life was that way? Can you imagine that every time you walked in the door with people, that it was just, thanks, God? Man, it just puts a smile on your face. It brings tears to your eyes. Just how appreciative you are just to be in the presence of people you love. Can you imagine just getting in your car and rolling down your window and just having the wind blow against your face and be so amazed at God just letting you participate in that? Is it just me? Oh, man. How do I get from a place where, how do we get to a place where we appreciate and savor what is good, not in momentary fleeting moments, but all the time? Where we can say right now and right now and right now, this is the best life can offer. And we can say in the midst of chaos, confusion, calamity, thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love and beauty that outshines and makes everything else fade. To be so wrapped in the presence of God that everything else fades away. God's will for my life is to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And if I'm honest, and if I look at my life, there are many circumstances in which giving thanks seems absolutely impossible. I've seen the trailer.
It's just, and there's no words for what you saw him getting as he went up this wall. It was just, I was just amazed at how I felt walking out of that feeling.
Yeah.
The difference, the deep spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the trailer for that last week, and they had it at the Yes Cinema. I don't know if it's still there. Is it still there? Oh, field trip. I've got a couple of lines from a movie that I watched recently that I've been wanting to see forever called The Tree of Life, and I'll get to those in a second. The movie that you are referring to is called The Way. Scripture continues to haunt us and pursue us. I'd say that Scripture haunts us and pursues us and calls us into something that we are completely incapable of in our own power. And isn't that the way it always is? Like, it's not just Jesus saying, love your friends, but also love your enemies. So it's like, I'm capable of loving my friends. I'm completely incapable without God's power in my life to love my enemies. It's like saying, I can be content when I'm in the boat and the boat's sailing without any rocky waves, but whenever the storm hits, I'm content in that as well. I've learned the secret of being content in any and all situations. It's kind of the same line of thinking here. It's like, he tells us, Paul writes, be thankful in all circumstances, which in some circumstances, I'm capable of being thankful by my own accord and my own merit, but in many other circumstances, I'm completely incapable of being thankful. Yeah, Heather. Next week, let's do it. Yeah, Heather's going to talk 3 or 4 minutes. Or 10. Or 30. We'll see where we can. No, that's, yeah. Might as well read from Colossians again. This is Colossians 2. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been taught, or you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Your heart was circumcised, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So there's something that happens whenever you've allowed Christ into your heart. There's a transformation that happens. There's a circumcision, if you will, of your heart, where you no longer live as you once did, completely controlled by the flesh, but controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the only way that we're capable of doing the stuff that we can't do in our own power, like loving your enemy, being content in all situations, even the ones that are tough, being thankful in all circumstances, even the ones that are, that from the outside looking in, looks like it's just wrecking you. Like, the only way that you, that I'm capable of this is by the Spirit of God. Behold, I make all things new. Right? Jesus said that. Behold, I make all things new, especially in you, and you, and you. New creation has been initiated in you. The effects of the resurrection have been realized in you. You've been given new eyes to see the graces, the mercies, the wonders, and the beauties of God right now. See the wonder, see the glory, see the beauty, and move forward in all. You know, that's God's redeeming work. That's God breaking in right now and saying, you know, you've lived a life that's been ruled by the flesh, in which you've kind of lived this glass half empty kind of life, a life that's ruled by the flesh, a life that, you know, you might be happy at times, but for the most part, you're still being wrecked and ravaged by your own inclinations, your own thoughts and feelings, the ways that your body works and tells you to behave, the elemental powers of the world have told you this is the best that you can do, this is the best life has to offer. But guess what? God says, with this rebirth, with this circumcision of the heart, with this Spirit that's being breathed into you, I'm putting aside all of these elemental, all these elemental rudimentary forces of the world that can do nothing for you, and I'm breathing a fresh breath of life into you. New creation has started. New creation has been initiated. And part of that is having new eyes to see differently than the way that you used to, ways to see situations and people and circumstances differently than you used to. It's like saying Jesus calling you to become like a child, to have childlike faith, to see with new eyes and wonder. I love it whenever I'm holding Will. Actually, I was holding him yesterday on the table, and on our wall were 2 paintings of flowers, and he was sideways to it, and the kid's neck was just breaking off of his head. It's like looking at me or looking at these beautiful paintings on the wall, you know, and he's like breaking his neck, like trying to look at them. So I was like, turn him towards it, because he's seeing it for the first time. He's like, I think that Will knows that that's beautiful. Man, that's awesome. Vibrant colors. Flowers that are just painted and exploding, and he's looking around like, Dad, I love you, but I'd rather look at the flowers. And I think that that's the eyes that we, you know, turn away from the ugliest, hideous dude, ugly, hideous dude with the beard, you know, and look towards, some, turn away from this ugly, fleshly human thing and turn towards beauty, you know. Will's got it right already. Jennifer. Definitely a perspective changer. So I'm going to offer in the next 7 minutes just a few thoughts. This is the way I think Thanksgiving is a place of humility. Thanksgiving is a place of realized indebtedness. I think that Thanksgiving is more of a position of the heart. Thanksgiving is a place where you're closer to the ground. Thanksgiving is a place where you're coming up from the bottom rather than the top. Thanksgiving is a place of being underneath other people and having gratitude and appreciation for everything. Thanksgiving is, I'm not worthy of such delight, such beauty, such glory. And I can guarantee you that the enemy of Thanksgiving is entitlement. Believe that. If you think that you deserve anything, that's a Thanksgiving killer. Man, the minute that we think that we deserve anything, where's appreciation and gratitude in that? Maybe a more appropriate way to think about it is to start off by saying, I don't deserve anything. What right do I have? The one who gives and grants gives all. Who am I to say otherwise? Who am I to say that I deserve anything? I think starting at a position of humility, starting of a place close to the ground, is a place where we can begin to be thankful for all things. I remember last year, have any of you ever read Our Town? Yeah, a couple? Man, that'll rock your world. So like, and I don't remember it very well. This is like dialing back into eighth grade or something. So maybe 10th grade. This girl dies, and she's able, from her vantage point now, you can say in heaven or, you know, hovering above, to see her family, to see the comings and goings, and to the level of detail at which she's saying, you know, I even miss the sound of the tick of a clock, you know, and just, I miss just being in the presence of my family and hearing, and just even whenever there's a little scuffle or whatever, it's like there's just an appreciation that she's like, I just wish I could go back, you know. And there, I remember a time probably about a year ago, I was sitting on the couch and it was just noise and busyness and my kids going this way and that way and Jenny's doing her thing, and I remember just closing my eyes and just saying, this is what it's all about. You know, this is it. Is there anything better? Are you pissed off because of the noise? Are you angry because your kids are messing something up? You know, are you upset because your wife hasn't cleaned the house or done the laundry? Or are you just savoring it and taking it in and saying, thanks God for this breath. Thanks for letting me participate in it. like with everything that we do, just having this deep appreciation and gratitude for God's goodness, whether it's hiking the trail and just stopping. I was hiking with my girls about a month ago, and we just stopped, and I was like, girls, just breathe this air. Just look at these leaves. Just smell the smells and just appreciate it. And they're like, what? Like, no, you know, you don't understand. Like, take it in. This is not just a hike, you know. This is like, feel God's presence. Be a part of God's glory and God's mercies. I love these quotes from the Tree of Life. It says, well, first I got to read this. This is a quote that I wrote after I went on the bike trails on Friday. I said, can we even utter a grumble in the midst of creation's immeasurable wonder? How can I? And Tree of Life, I wanted to be loved because I was great, a big man. I'm nothing. Look at the glory around us, trees, birds. I lived in shame. I dishonored it all and didn't notice the glory. I'm a foolish man. Tree of Life says, love everyone, every leaf, every ray of light. Love it. Don't miss the glory of God in the midst of confusion, in the midst of life's hiccups. Don't miss God's glory in the midst of the trivial. Don't miss God's glory for anything. Let's pray. God, just give us eyes of children. God, let us just participate in the wonder of your glory and your mercies. God, let us breathe deep. Just this breath that we take. Let us smell the smells, enjoy the flavors of life. God, let us close our eyes and just enjoy the racket, the laughs, and the small things, God. Let us not take one moment for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.